Kwaba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa. It's a beautiful weekend.
It is a beautiful weekend, and of course, we are here to give you the weekly reports, updates, and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent, and perhaps sometimes about the globe as well. I am still Miss Purple.
And I remain Neki.
Your highly esteemed decentralized reporters from Africa.
That word esteemed always makes me feel so good. Literally so good about myself. Anyway, we are going to take a quick dive to see how the markets are doing as of today, the 22nd of January. Bitcoin still seems to be doing pretty good. Still climbing up and up, currently sitting comfortably at $23,056.89, up from what it was last week at $20,799.16. Ethereum has experienced a slight increase and currently sits at $1,646.20, up from what it was last week at $1,532.09. Optimism seems to have experienced a decline at over about 30%, currently sitting at $1.03, down from what it was last week at $1.70. Matic, for the first time in a while, has crossed the $1 mark. Impressive. Currently sitting at $1.01. It's $1.01, up from what it was last week at $0.9868. And the bank token remains hovering at the $0.008 range, up from what it was last week, slightly at $0.008833.
Moving on to your national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is currently sitting at 12.30 cedi to the dollar, which is down by 2.84% from last week's 11.96 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian Naira is at 455.06 Naira to the dollar, down by 0.546% from last week's 452.59 Naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African Rand are currently at 17.12 or 17.12 Rand to the dollar, down from last week's 16.81 Rand to the dollar by 1.84%. The King and Shilling is at 124.10 shilling to the dollar, down from last week's 123.43 shilling to the dollar, which is a downward movement of 0.54%. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 605.89 franc to the dollar, down by 0.155% from last week's 604.65 franc to the dollar. So overall, it seems we're unfortunately in somewhat of a constant downward momentum. And I say constant because even some of the percentages are almost exactly the same as last week's downward percentages. So that is to say, whatever is happening seems to be happening at a very constant pace, which I'm not sure that's a good thing, because eventually if this just keeps going for forever, we're going to end up with exorbitant amounts, or rather rates, when you compare it to the dollar, which is never a good idea, not at all. So with that, we're going to give you a quick recap of last week's headlines that we found to be particularly interesting. I'm going to start off with Nigeria, where an innovator has launched the first active Bitcoin Lightning node in the country.
And I think one that I found particularly really interesting from last week was the headline about Machankura's Bitcoin wallet, which targets Africans with old school phones and no internet. I think it's an initiative that would definitely bring cryptocurrency closer to people in, you know, remote areas and in areas where there is huge technological divide. I feel like it's going to do a lot of good, and I really, really hope to see take off really swiftly. And that brings us to a recap of our top headlines, or what I say most interesting headlines from last week. Moving on to this week, we kick off with the African Web3 game publisher, Carry First, which has just raised $27 million in funding.
The mobile game publisher CarryFirst has raised a whopping $27 million in a funding round led by Bitcraft Ventures, with participation from Andreessen Horowitz, TTV Capital, Convoy, Alumni Ventures, Lateral Capital, and Keeple Ventures. The company, which provides a full-stack solution for monetizing and managing mobile games on the African continent, will use the funds to expand the capabilities of PayFirst, which is its monetization as a service platform, which will also allow third-party publishers to make more money in Africa. CarryFirst secured $20 million in funding just over a year ago, which it said would go towards expanding internal capacity and growing its content portfolio. CarryFirst believes that the region is ripe for Web3 adoption, citing mobile technology as a key factor in democratizing access to games. A spokesperson for the company said, and I quote, "Mobile democratizes access to games such that a person doesn't need a $1,000 console to enjoy the game. They can simply use a gaming device which already exists in their pockets. As a result, mobile gaming adoption has been soaring in Africa due to awesome demographics, increased smartphone penetration, and rising incomes," end quote. Once again, I'm an avid gaming fan. I haven't gamed in a really, really long time, which I am hoping that maybe this year is the year for me. Maybe I'll come back in. You never know. But this is always phenomenal to see and always such a great thing to hear, because it's a reminder that just because other countries have something and they've had it for so long, it doesn't mean that we can't ever have it. It doesn't mean it's too late for us. You know, gaming in other countries has taken on mammoth kind levels, and it's the craziest thing to see people actually writing in their bio to say I am a gamer and that is their career. But you unfortunately have not been able to have a lot of Africans be able to say that. So for on behalf of all other Africans who are either gamers or curious to look into the gaming sphere and hope to get into it and make that a career, I am proud. I do hope that we get a lot more innovators coming from Africa. Moving on to the next headline for this week, the Central African Republic is working on a crypto adoption legal framework.
A 15-member team has been put together with the sole intention of working on a legal framework that will allow for the operation of crypto within the Central African Republic, while also expediting the development of the nation's economy. According to President Faustina Shange Touadera, crypto has the potential to eradicate the country's financial barriers, and he strongly believes that creating a business-friendly environment supported by a legal framework. An official press release read, and I quote, "With access to cryptocurrencies, the monetary barriers existing until now will disappear. The main objective of the measures adopted by the government being the development of the national economy," end quote. Now, of the 15 members, 5 are heads of ministries of the Central African Republic, specifically the Ministry of Mines and Geology, the Ministry of Water, Forest, Hunting and Fishing, the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development, the Ministry of Town Planning, Land Reform, Towns and Housing, as well as the Ministry of Justice, Promotion of Human Rights, and Good Governance. You know, like, this is not the first time that the Central African Republic has been in the news for trying to do something about, you know, its crypto policies within its country, or adopting crypto, or legalizing crypto, and all of that. But it always seems that with every headline, they are breaking a new barrier. They are taking it a notch higher. You know, they are going a step further. And for them to, you know, want to work on a crypto adoption framework, a legal framework that actually creates an umbrella for crypto operations within the country to become legal, it's really good news for them, because I think that their president, especially President Faustina Shange Touadera, really understands what good crypto could do for their country. I mean, it's a small country, but they still face most of the problems that all of us face within Africa and definitely across the world. You know, financial barriers with remittances, and especially cross-border payments, moving money from one person to another, moving money between businesses. But I feel like they actually do understand that crypto could be a possible solution to most of these problems. And I definitely understand why they are very bullish on making it work within their country. And I am really rooting for them, because in the event that they are able to make all of this work, it will put them several steps ahead of everyone else. And I'm really optimistic that in the event that it does work, they would be blazing the tracks for a lot of more African countries to follow. And that is really good, really, really good stuff. Moving on to the next headline. The Virunga National Park is mining Bitcoin to preserve revenue in the face of disease and militia attacks.
The Virunga National Park in the Democratic Republic of Congo is using Bitcoin mining to monetize its abundant natural resources and preserve its existence. The park, which is Africa's oldest protected space, has faced increasing pressure from local militia groups and the COVID-19 pandemic, which led to an extended closure of the park to tourists, which unfortunately represents about 40% of its revenue. Park director Emmanuel Demerod met with Sebastian Goupilou of Big Block Green Services, who helped set up the mining operation in 2020 using hydroelectric power from three plants within the park. The operation employs 9 full-time workers and generates Bitcoin using surplus energy. Demerod said that despite market downturns, he still has confidence in the project's success. That is the kind of application that I think a lot of us tend to forget as possible. You know, and I mean, I guess many people will, of course, then say that when you have situations like this, that's the only time when you can truly think of using technology like blockchain or even Bitcoin as a solution. Because how could you be able to think of that if you, say, perhaps lived in a city, you know, in a city where it's just concrete jungle and you are nowhere in any way affiliated with a national park? So to be in a situation like that, to be in such different circumstances, I think this is a reminder once again that if you can find a way to apply this kind of technology to whatever initiative it is that you have or whatever project it is that you have, or even a national park, it may seem very far-fetched, but sometimes that's where you can find the best solutions. So kudos to the Virunga National Park. I also really do hope that this works out for them. Moving on to our next headline. Burger King and Pepsi collaborate with renowned artist African Ginger for the X Marks the Spot NFT campaign.
First, I just want to say that is a very interesting name for a campaign. X marks the spot, meaning target or, you know, spot on, however you choose to interpret it. But Burger King and Pepsi are teaming up for a nationwide campaign in South Africa. Like I said, X marks the drop, which allows participants to search for virtual tokens with the chance to win an original African Ginger piece of art and NFT worth $25,000. As part of the campaign, one of 10,000 limited edition African Ginger NFTs with an estimated value of $260,000 will be up for grabs, along with 20,000 free Whoppers from Burger King. The campaign also features daily offers such as discount codes or free Pepsi with meals purchased. The artwork is created by Seth Pimentel, also known as African Ginger, a well-known artist and illustrator from Johannesburg. He has a distinct style that is highly acclaimed, and his artwork is known for its depth and meaning. He often combines traditional and digital techniques in his work, pushing the boundaries of experimentation. Just a quick one. If you're ever in South Africa, we are rooting for you to find all the tokens that you can. If you're in South Africa right now, during the period of this campaign, delve into it. This is really good stuff. I mean, we have such big brands, global giants like Burger King and Pepsi going into NFTs. I mean, collaborating with an artist like African Ginger, he's renowned, he's well known, especially in the NFT space. But the fact that they're willing to collaborate with him to do something this remarkable, I feel like the X marks the drop campaign will do so much good for Burger King and Pepsi, besides, you know, giving them, again, I mean, they're already public and well known, but, you know, heightening their publicity. I feel like it's definitely also going to like enlighten a lot more people about NFTs. People are going to wonder, hey, what is digital art? How can I be a part of it? And I feel like this will rope in a lot more people than we currently already have. And then there's also the prices up for grab, which I think it's really huge. $25,000 is something I definitely would want to have a piece of if I could. But hey, if you're listening to this and you're in South Africa and can participate in this, please go ahead. I mean, whether you win the grand prize or not, you'd be having so much fun with African Ginger and Burger King and Pepsi and with all of the other NFT lovers in South Africa. Now, moving on to the next headline. Binance Charity sets out to provide free Web3 training to rural South African women.
Moving on to the next headline, Binance Charity, which is the philanthropic branch of Binance, plans to partner with Women in Tech to offer Web3 vocational training for 2,800 women in rural communities, specifically in South Africa and Brazil. The training will focus on blockchain education and understanding of core concepts in cryptocurrency, such as coding, blockchain application, cryptocurrency, decentralization, NFTs, the metaverse, fan tokens, and trading, and a few others as well. The partnership aims to create future entrepreneurs and, of course, job creation. Binance has indicated that in the past 6 months, there have been 82,200 applications to study Web3 education. Over 2.2 million US dollars in BUSD was donated in 2022 to support projects in various countries such as South Africa, Senegal, Nigeria, Australia, Germany, Cyprus, Ukraine, France, and Brazil. These projects offer students the opportunity to study Web3 related courses free of charge. That is crazy. That is an insane amount of money, and that is a reasonably high amount of people. Because 2,800 women being educated about Web3, because I've seen what happens when you simply educate 10 people. So can you imagine the ripple effect that could come from 2,800 women being educated? I am rooting for South Africa and Brazil and for all those women who are going to be able to partake in this. I really genuinely do hope that we get to see more innovations coming out of Africa and even, you know, South America to see a lot of them being more based on community first and perhaps even being put together and created by women. On to our next and final headline of this week, the UN report on crypto in Africa lauds XRP.
This is particularly interesting. Now, Ripple's native token, XRP, has been speculated to be able to power new generation payment services across Africa. This is according to a UNDP, that is the United Nations Development Programme report, titled Cryptocurrency in Africa, Alternative Goals for Advancing the Sustainable Development Goals. The report cites a potential use case using the token in payment corridors to send money abroad cheaply and almost immediately. Now, according to the text, XRP can serve as a bridge for local fiat currencies affordably. The link to the report will be included in the show notes, so please check it out, give it a read, and let us know what you think of it on Twitter, Discord, or in our Telegram. We will try to do our own report analysis for this in the coming week, and who knows, we might just visit some of your hot takes. Remember to always take reports such as these with a grain of salt. This, proceed with caution. But again, I think the fact that the United Nations or the UNDP, which is also an extended arm of the United Nations, is finally recognizing that maybe cryptocurrency can do some good for Africa and by extension the world is remarkable. I mean, I've been familiar with XRP and Ripple for years, and I know they've been doing a lot of good, and I really cannot wait to see how much more good they can do, how much more notches they can turn this thing up by, and really what good, what solutions they can provide to the ailing financial system in Africa.
And with that, just a reminder that None of what we share here is financial advice. Remember, we're not experts. These are all just opinions of the individuals that make the show possible, or some of them are simply news reports of news as we find them and not so much what we think of them. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. The goal this season, or for this first quarter, is to reach 10,000 subscribers or at least listeners by the end of March or Q1. So don't forget to subscribe, share, leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from. And if you're able and you have just 2 minutes to spare, please also leave a review. It helps us to better understand how we can continue to deliver beautiful, phenomenal shows that offer you the information that you want to hear. So until next time, be relentless.